KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's clear and 37 degrees in Atlantic. We look forward to be sunny today, a high of 62. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. The Trevor Fredrickson Memorial Fund has donated $1,000 to the Atlantic Parent Teacher Organization. Fund spokesperson Melanie Petty said the money is to help the PTO with their final phase of purchasing new computers for Washington School. The mini iPads will be used for research, reading skills, Iowa core programs, and 21st century programs. The fund also donated $5,000 to the Atlantic Little League for a new playground the group is adding this spring. Petty says it's our hope that we'll be able to continue to donate to worthy projects in the Atlantic area that meet our mission statement. She said also the community support of our annual golf tournament makes this a reality every year. And we look forward to another huge event this year on August 8th when we hold our 7th annual T. Fred Memorial Golf Tournament at the Nishna Hills Golf Course. A routine traffic stop late Thursday night in Villisca resulted in the arrest of a local woman on a drug charge. Montgomery County Sheriff's Office and 46-year-old Claudia Elizabeth Schubert of Villisca faces a possession of controlled substance charge. The woman was arrested during the course of a traffic stop at around 11 p.m. after the Montgomery County K-9 Rex alerted to the odor of narcotics coming from Schubert's 2008 Chrysler PT Cruiser. The vehicle was searched and a controlled substance was found. Schubert was being held in Montgomery County Jail on $1,000 bond. Two men were arrested Thursday night on separate charges in Red Oak. Authorities say Red Oak police arrested 65-year-old Steve Lester DeLong of Red Oak just after 8 p.m. for discharging a firearm within the city limits. DeLong was being held in Montgomery County Jail on $300 bond. And at around 9:35 p.m., 22-year-old Cody Dean Johnson of Red Oak was arrested for felony burglary in the second degree. Johnson's bond was set at $10,000. Three men were arrested Thursday evening on burglary and narcotics charges in Adams County. Sheriff's officials say Josh Cooney, Hubert Shearer, and Charles Williams, all from Brooks, were taken into custody at 6:40 p.m. after authorities investigated a reported burglary in Brooks. Narcotics and drug paraphernalia were found during the investigation. One person was arrested and one non-injury accident was investigated Thursday in Creston. Authorities say 25-year-old Natasha Campbell of Creston was arrested at around 3:20 p.m. at 806 Laurel Street and charged with theft in the fourth degree. Campbell was later released from the Union County Jail on $1,000 bond. And an accident that happened at around 11:40 a.m. Thursday at the intersection of South Elm and Highway 34 in Creston caused a total of $2,800 damage, but no one was hurt. Officials say a vehicle driven by 67-year-old Janity Todd of Malloy and 16-year-old Brooke Haig of Creston collided as both drivers were traveling south on South Elm Street. When Todd stopped her 2007 Jeep at the intersection, Haig, who authorities say was following too closely, failed to stop her 2000 Pontiac Grand Prix in time. Her car hit the left rear corner of the Jeep. No citations were issued. An investigation into an incident early Thursday morning resulted in the arrest of a man charged with impersonating a police officer. Clarinda Police Chief Keith Brothers said officers arrested 20-year-old Brian Lewis Fry of Clarinda at around 1:30 a.m. Thursday. Officials were notified at around 1 a.m. that morning that Fry had allegedly used red and blue lights while operating a red 1998 Ford Mustang registered to him to pull over a vehicle on State Street. Fry and his car were later located in a parking lot on East Main Street. The man was taken into custody without incident and later released after posting a $2,000 bond. The police chief says there was no danger to the public and it appeared to have been an isolated incident. The Union County Sheriff's Office says a rural Lorimore resident reported Thursday that their green 2007 Yamaha Grizzly four-wheel drive off-road machine had been stolen from a farm property. The 700cc machine had a red hitch on the front. The loss was estimated at $6,000. In other news, the Shenandoah School Board has found a replacement for their former superintendent who was terminated last November. The Daily Nonpareil reports Carrie Nelson will take over from interim superintendent Monty Munsinger. Nelson was selected over Mount Pleasant superintendent Mike Wells, the other finalist for the position, from a field of 19 applicants. Nelson will begin her duties as superintendent on July the 1st. She's currently the superintendent of the South Tama Community School District, where she has been since 2008. Nelson is also a representative for Class 3A schools this year on the School Administrators of Iowa's Executive Leaders Steering Committee, according to that organization's website. Nelson replaces Jeff Heiser, who was accused of submitting fraudulent expense requests, giving inaccurate information during an investigation, and misusing district property for personal gain, among other reasons offered by the school board for his ousting. Heiser initially challenged the decision, but he decided in January to allow the termination to proceed because of an ongoing medical issue. He said he had been medically unable to perform the job since October 6th of 2014, and a medical provider said an administrative law proceeding would aggravate his depression and anxiety. Officials at the Iowa Department of Transportation said Thursday the public will be informed each week through the local media about detours for Highway 6 in Atlantic once a long-awaited construction project begins in the next few weeks. The road is scheduled to be closed from the intersection of Olive Street and Highway 6 or 7th Street here in town, east to just past the entrance to Burger King. Iowa DOT District 4 Transportation Planner Scott Sewer provided the media with a project update Thursday morning. While the exact start date has not yet been determined because the contractor for the project has not signed the necessary documents, Sewer said in the days leading up to construction, orange trailblazing detour signs with the names of each business will be erected, directing people to those local businesses they would normally have access to on 7th Street.
We're also talking about having a sign here at Olive with those businesses directing you to 10th Street and across. So like anybody coming in on Olive or anybody coming in on Highway 6 will see that sign and then know to go to 10th to get around. That's for the locals. The detour for the project for people outside of Atlantic or people that aren't local is Highway 173, Interstate 80, and US 71.
Bid letting for the project took place on March 17th, and while the exact start date has yet to be determined, as I mentioned, construction will start no later than June the 6th and be completed in 2 to 3 months, depending, of course, on the weather. In an ideal situation, Sewer said the construction would start following the last day of school and be completed before the fall semester begins. Project updates will be made available to the media for dissemination to the public on Monday afternoons following meetings with the contractor once construction begins. The idea is to keep the public informed on progress being made while the project is underway. And a new report finds that Iowa has one of the highest percentages in the nation of bridges that are in need of major repairs or upgrades. The analysis was done by the American Road and Transportation Builders Association. Chief Economist Allison Black said the group found that more than 20% of Iowa's bridges, numbering over 5,000, are structurally deficient.
A bridge is classified as structurally deficient if one of the key structural elements, and usually that's either the deck, the superstructure, or the substructure, is rated in poor condition or worse.
Black says the challenge in Iowa is that in addition to some of the more highly traveled bridges in urban areas, there is a large number of smaller local bridges that are considered structurally deficient. She says the bridge problem in Iowa nationwide could get even worse. This as the latest extension of federal highway and transit funding through the Highway Trust Fund is set to expire on May 31st, absent any congressional action.
This is something that is an issue, funding both at the federal, state, and local level. It's something that all levels of government need to address. But the uncertainty over the federal aid situation is a big issue for state DOTs and local governments.
According to the report, nationally, there are about 61,000 bridges that are considered structurally compromised. Many of those are on interstate highways, which carry the bulk of truck traffic and passenger vehicles. Our news was brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.